Dear congregation, we just stepped in a new year. The year of the Lord 2023. A new year awaits us. And we wonder probably, standing at the beginning of that new year, what will it bring us? Maybe some of us are even filled with excitement. What will it bring? Will it bring prosperity? Or maybe the Lord deems it necessary for us to lead us through adversity. How will it go with my health? How will it go at my work or at school? Will I succeed in all my undertakings? How will my children and grandchildren or parents fare? My friends? So many questions that can and probably are assailing us this morning. And even more, I think, when we look back at 2022. Because when we look back in 2022, of course, at one hand, there is this feeling of gratitude and thankfulness that the Lord gave us so much blessings. But at the other hand, looking back at 2022, we did so yesterday, I think we are probably filled with a sense of disappointment, first of all in ourselves. Right, we wanted to live holy and upright, to follow the Lord every moment of our life. That was probably your wish at the beginning of 2022. Well, did you succeed in that? If we are honest, we are probably a bit disappointed about ourselves. Maybe you are disappointed about others. Maybe you are disappointed at the way the Lord went with you last year. How will it go? What kind of journey will we travel with the ship of our life? What will the weather be like? Will the sea be high or will the sea be flat? Will we see dark clouds or will we see the sun shining? Will it be cold or hot? At which ports will we embark? Where will our ship of life be at the end of 2022? We just don't know, right? But no mistake, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Blessed are we when Christ is our helmsman. When Christ is our pilot. Blessed are we if the map of God's work is laid out before that helm. If that map of God's word is used to determine the course of our ship of life. Blessed are we when the compass of our ship of life points to heavenly Jerusalem. Then sure, things will go well, even if we are led in heavy storms and afflictions and adversity. But still, with Christ at our helm and Him as pilot, our ship will fare well. How will it go? Well, yesterday we listened to the first 8 verses of Psalm 144. This morning, at New Year's morning, we'll listen to the remaining verses. Verses 9 through 15 of Psalm 144. Yesterday we saw how David, first of all, and we remember he was in difficult circumstances, in the midst of war, there were enemies around him, but the first thing he did is not naming all the impossibilities, no. Not naming all his worries, all his afflictions. No. He put them aside for a moment and he first concentrated on God. And he saw God in his holy faith. And he remembered, based on the past and God's word, that God's name is Lord, that he is the rock, and that he's first of all a rock in loving kindness, and that he is there for a high tower in all circumstances. And then he remembered the work the Lord had done. Oh, the Lord had led him through life till he reached that point where he was now. The Lord had equipped him to fulfill his task. The Lord had helped him and guided him. And only then he laid down before the Lord his worries and he cried out, Lord, help me. I'm in an impossible situation. I'm in an impossible situation. Well, this morning we will continue there to listen to the sequel of Psalm 144. The theme for the sermon this morning is a new song. A new song. You'll hear that in verse 9. I will sing on New Year's morning, 2023, a new song unto thee. O God. That's the theme, a new song. 2 points of attention to that. First of all, a new song in distress. Because there is distress here in Psalm 144. And we know each other a little bit. There's also distress in many of our lives. Well, the second point of attention is a new view in distress. A new song. A new song in distress. A new view in distress. First thought, a new song in distress. Psalm 144 is remarkable. It's really a remarkable psalm. Last night, we heard verse 7, B, and 8. Let's read them again. David cried out, rid me, deliver me out of great waters. Deliver me from my enemies. They speak falsehood and lies. Lord, help me. And then suddenly, from one moment to another, we hear, I will sing a new song, O God. How is this possible? At one moment he cries out, my God, help me in my distress, in my affliction. Help me, my God. And then a moment later, I will sing a new song, O God. What an enormous leap, isn't it? But I think many of you recognize this in your life. Because it happens so often. Often these two things go together, right? You're distressed, you're in afflictions, you're in problems, you have sorrows, you worry about the future, you cry out to the Lord, and at the same time, you trust the Lord. You know that he's the living one. And you know what has changed, how it is brought about? By concentrating on the Lord in prayer. It's his grace, of course. But the instrument in bringing this change about is to concentrate on the Lord. We have that habit, our custom, to concentrate on our problems, the impossibilities. And we will never find any solution for them until we cry out to the Lord, we remember who the Lord is, what he has done, especially in Jesus Christ. And at that very same moment, we forget all our problems and uncertainties and the decisions we have to make because we know the Lord reigns. A new song arises. Well, Psalm 144 is indeed remarkable. Because just the verse later, David cried again. That's life, isn't it? You cry out to the Lord, you praise his name for the deliverance in Jesus Christ, and you know that Jesus Christ will never forget you, and a moment later you remember your distresses and you cry out again. Verse 11, right? Rid me, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. I'm surrounded by people speaking vanity. My heart speaks vanity. Lord, help me. Oh, but this morning here, New Year, there is a song. I will sing, whatever my circumstances are. Probably, you know, the circumstances of your life are the same as yesterday, right? There is not much changed in this couple of hours. But whatever your circumstances are, there's always reason to praise the Lord. I will sing a new song. Oh, God. And his joy is exceedingly great. You not only hear his voice, it's accompanied by instruments. It says here, I will sing a new song loud with my voice upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. I will sing praises. There are three voices and they mingle together. Multiple voices. You hear a beautiful melody full of joy for the Lord. New Year's morning. So great is his Lord, is his joy, that his only voice is not enough. But that joy works its way with multiple voices in a beautiful harmony. There's the powerful lute, probably one of these instruments is the lute, a powerful lute. And there are the sweetly plucked strings. And all together, these three, they honor and praise God. Is this your song on New Year? Oh Lord, what a wonder that thou givest me a new year. Thank thee. Whatever your circumstances are, maybe you are in deep needs, in the depths of afflictions, but there still can be that new song. How? Well, the tip of the veil is lifted. How it is possible, right, to sing that new song when we read verse 10. It is he, God, that giveth salvation unto kings. It is he who delivereth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. He speaks about God. It is God who gave him a new song. He doesn't use the name of God, Lord, here. He uses the designation God, and he does so consciously and purposely. Why does he use that name God instead of Lord? To stress the fact that there is one God. When we look around us, we may think there are many gods. And maybe we are even a God ourselves. But this morning we are reminded there is just one God, one true God. Although there are many idols, but when you see that God, that one true God, a new song arise. Why? Because that God is our creator. And that God is in Christ our recreator. That God, indeed, his name is Lord. That's my God, the most powerful one, full of loving kindness in Jesus Christ. He is the one who delivered his people Israel from all her enemies. He will deliver me from all mine enemies. He is my God. And his name is indeed Lord, and a new song arises because I know that God is my God. And my God does the impossible things. And therefore, I'm not afraid whatever will happen in the coming year. But there was much distress in the life of David. Oh, we remember from yesterday. There were enemies around him, people speaking falsehoods and lies. Either we apply that to our own lives, the threefold enemy, Satan, the world, our old nature, our old heart. The threefold enemy speaking lies and falsehood, deceiving us, so many temptations around us. Well, how do we achieve victory with these mighty enemies all speaking falsehood and lies? Because the world around us speaks falsehood and lies. The world around us is full of vanity. It's empty. It seems to offer so much. But the end, you end up empty-handed. The world doesn't help you when you're in real need. No. The world is empty vanity. How do we achieve victory when so many people around us cry out, when there are so many voices deceiving us and tempting us? How to achieve victory? Well, listen to Hebrews 12, verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3, a beautiful verse. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Christ, the very Son of God, was surrounded by liars all his life. And therefore, let us not be wearied and faint in our minds at New Year's morning. Because Christ overcame all these enemies speaking falsehood and lies. He overcame them all. What were these enemies which surrounded Christ? Let's consider a few of them. There were the Pharisees and the scribes, whitewashed tombs, snakes. They were only after one thing, getting Christ Jesus out of their way. And they were full of deceit. They tried to trap Jesus Christ again and again and again. But they didn't succeed. No. What about Judas? He betrayed his master, one of the disciples, right? He betrayed his master with a kiss. What a lie. What a falsehood. And then only for a few pieces of silver. What a mirror for us, right? How often did we betray Christ? Or a few pieces of silver? How many times? But what about the other disciple, Peter? He betrayed his master. He denied him. And the rooster crowed 3 times. Guilty, Peter. Guilty. Guilty. Peter, you deceived him. You deceived him. You deceived him. 3 times. Oh, and he wept bitterly. I forsook my master, my savior. He wept bitterly. But who around Christ, let's be honest, did speak the truth? Who was there? Was there anyone around Christ who did speak the truth? Not one. Not one. Only one speaks the truth. He is the truth. God. And God revealed the truth in his Son. The whole world around Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the living truth, was empty vanity, speaking lies and falsehoods. Full with idolatry. But grace and truth became through Jesus Christ, there is one more full of lies and faults. Each of us. Each of us personally nailed Christ to the cross. We nailed the truth to the cross. We preferred lie and false. In ourselves, we are deceived. Oh Lord, forgive me, New Year's morning. I nailed the truth, Jesus Christ, by my sin to the cross. How great my sin is. Why do we do that? Because the truth is unmasking. Christ is unmasking because we should hang on that cross. And instead, we hang Christ at the cross. How exposing this is. Who of us wants to hang on a cross? Who of us wants to carry his cross day after day in 2023? Who of us? The truth is unmasking. Well, rather the lie than the truth. Rather the glory of the world than be a cross bearer. Why do we lie that often? Because the truth is radical. When we embrace Christ and believe in him, there is no more room for the lie. There is a battle against the lie. We are no longer at home in the world around us because our home is in heaven. The truth is radical. We are either at home here or we are a stranger here and at home in heaven. Who wants to be a stranger here with so many people around us feeling at home here? This is why we are often a liar. The truth indeed makes us a stranger here below. And who of us wants to be a stranger in 2023? But when you expect new heaven and earth, you prefer to be a stranger here. You prefer the eternity with Christ. You say, well, let me be a stranger here. Or do you prefer paradise here? Oh, the truth is so radical. Either we prefer paradise here or we prefer the new heaven and earth later. But at the moment God intervenes with his one-sided word, mercy, grace, love, gospel news, when the Holy Spirit arrests us, all lies are unmasked, undoubtedly. And then you say, oh God, I sing a new song, no longer the song of the world. But there is another song in my heart. And I sing that song all the days of my life in 2023. I will sing a new song because of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God we have. God is the one who sets free from all distress, especially spiritual distress, because in him there is forgiveness, there is righteousness, there is holiness. God is the one who snatches us from the lying enemies because Christ overcame them all. God is the one who grants us peace in the midst of all earthly circumstances. And that peace with him is final and total. It is a full peace. And the poet David, he knows of that peace because God set him free. And that's why he sings in verse 10. He delivered David, his servant, from the hurtful saw. By the way, David still needed to fight. We need to fight. And David, as a king, even had to take up the sword. Terrible, because by the sword, blood is shed. But he knows it will come to an end. There will be that time of perfect and full peace that I no longer need the sword. We need the sword of the word. He needed the sword to shed blood. He needed to fight wars. But he knew God will intervene. And then the battle will be over. And I will be relieved from that evil sword. Are you looking forward for that moment? That you will be relieved, set free, no longer in a battle, no longer fighting. That you live in perfect peace and harmony. Do you look forward to that eternal rest at New Year's morning? No, there's still that struggle. We still have to fight with the sword of the word. It is written. Please use that sword often, day by day. Use it. Because with that sword, within the end is Jesus Christ himself, you can overcome all your enemies, because Christ overcame your enemies by his word. Well, do you sing a new song with me this morning? And are you looking out to that time, Isaiah 2 verse 4, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, neither shall they learn war anymore. There will be, when will it be? Will it be in 2023? But there will be that time when God, Jesus Christ, will come down again, will descend to earth. He will appear to all on the clouds of heaven, and there will be that perfect kingdom of peace. Well, and David realizes this all. That's why he is no longer bothered about all his problems and enemies. He handed them over to God because he knows that God is a deliverer and a savior. They are no longer his problem, but God's problem. And he knows God will bring peace. In the end, he will bring a full and final peace. And that peace will bring with it a blessing, a full blessing. And then David is going to pray for the blessing. Oh, Lord, thou art the deliverer. Thou art the God of peace. Once thy kingdom of peace will come. Oh, Lord, bless us now. Bless us in 2023. Well, we are going to listen to that blessing in the second thought. But first we will sing. We'll sing Psalter 393. That's Psalm 144. And we'll sing all three stanzas. That wasn't an easy melody, isn't it? An unknown melody, probably, but beautiful words. It is the second half of Psalm 144. It is that prayer for a blessing. And it's probably our prayer for the new year, for the year 2023. David, he started the psalm with looking back. And he said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, I bless thee." He looked back and he saw God's blessing. And now he's looking forward. And he knows that God is the full and complete Savior and Deliverer. He will bring peace, even a full and perfect peace. And that peace will bring blessings with her. And so he has the freedom and the courage to pray for a blessing. And so we pray for a blessing. Before we go to that blessing, in Deuteronomy 28, we read about covenant blessings and covenant curses. I would like to read the first verses of Deuteronomy 28. And the relation with Psalm 144 is that it speaks of covenant blessings. Listen to these words, Deuteronomy 28. It shall come to pass, Providence Reformed Church, new year 2023, if thou shalt hearken diligently in 2023 unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that thou wilt observe every day of 2023 his law, do all his commandments, which I command, Moses is speaking here, to thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, all around you. And all of these blessings shall come on thee, Providence Reformed Church. They will overtake thee. If only, Providence Reformed Church, thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 28, first verse. Is there obedience in your life? No, I don't mean the obedience in your own strength, because you are unable, as I am unable, we all are unable to fulfill God's holy commandments. We are just trespassers, that's it. We don't have the strength. We even don't have the willingness. So how can we live according to these words in Deuteronomy 28? Because God's blessing is immediately connected to being obedient, to fulfill his holy law. How can we fulfill his holy law and be obedient to God and live a perfect, holy life? How? Well, there is evangelical obedience. That's it. It is trusting God that he is the complete deliverer and savior. It is trusting Jesus Christ that he died for you at Calvary's cross and forgave all your sins. It is trusting Jesus Christ that he clothed you with his perfect righteousness. It is living with Christ day by day in 2023. Holy evangelical obedience. If that evangelical obedience, that faith in the triune God, following Jesus Christ, putting your life in him, in his hands, if that is found in you, the Lord will certainly bless you with the blessings of Jesus Christ. That's it. Oh, he will fill you with all heavenly blessings. Not because you are perfect in yourself. No, not because You did fulfill all the laws of God. No, but you rested upon Jesus Christ. And he did it all for you. And you're clothed in his righteousness. And then the heavenly Father looks to you. And he sees that complete righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he blesses you in him. Ah, is it your longing to be found in Jesus Christ? Otherwise, 2023 will be a year in vain. It's one of the two. Either. You flee to Jesus Christ every day in 2023. Or you don't. And if you don't, you are under God's curses. It's one of the two. Either we are under God's curses because we didn't believe in Jesus Christ, or we receive God's blessings because we fled to Jesus Christ and we still flee to him. And he is our Savior. Well, this is the way to live in 2023. And then the Lord surely will bless you. David knew all these things. He knew Deuteronomy 28. And it was his longing to be found in the triune God. To live in his grace and mercy day by day by day. And so he has the courage to pray for a blessing. And so we have the courage to pray for a blessing in 2023. And David begs for a threefold blessing. It's beautiful. First of all, he begs for a blessing on his posterity. Let's say for family life, a blessing for family life. Isn't it, by the way, impressive and remarkable that he starts with family life? Because the family is so important in God's eye. That's the place where we open the Word of God, where we practice the Word of God, where we pray together, where we correct each other, where we instruct each other, where we love each other with a self-sacrificial love, in our family. So we start there. Let's read verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. He prays for the welfare of his sons and daughters. He says, oh, that my son, I see sons sitting here, right? Parents, do you pray this for your sons? That my sons may be like green plants in 2023. That they may be like that full and fruitful olive tree or grape bush which produces so much fruit and is large and strong and green and fruitful. That my sons may be like that. How do your sons become like that? By being an example for them. In repentance and faith. By fleeing to Jesus Christ. By instructing your sons in the Word of God. By bringing them in prayer. God. That's how they become, with the help of the Holy Spirit, strong and fruitful. There is a task, parents. And it doesn't matter if your children are at home or if they left home and they live on their own. They are still your children. Well, and he prays for the daughters, that they may be graceful and pleasing. And he compares them to the corner pillars of a palace, set in a conspicuous place where you can see them, right? In all her beauty and glory. Pillars beautifully decorated and made of the most precious materials. And he wishes that his daughters may be like these pillars in his palace. What kind of daughters are these? These are the daughters, and I hope they are here. I'm sure they are here, who fear the Lord. Daughters who fear the Lord, whose life is occupied with the Word of God and the fruits of the Spirit are found in their lives. These are these daughters. Blessed are you if you have these sons and daughters. Well, that's his first prayer for family life. Then he continues to ask for a blessing on the work of his hands, like we do, right? At the beginning of 2023, verse 13 and 14a. That our garners, our storehouses, may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. Oh, Lord, that all the storehouses in my house may be full in 2023. That there may be food in abundance in 2023. Where does this abundance come from? Well, you have to go back to Old Testament Israel. Where did that abundance came from in Old Testament Israel? From the flocks, of course. But how did the flocks grow and become fruitful? Because of the abundance of the fields, right? There need to be food and grass. But how does the grass grow? There needs to be water and sunshine. In other words, we need the good hand of the Lord. We need him to bless us, to bring rain and sunshine, so there will be grass. And then the flocks will flourish. And then the storehouses will be full. Israel was the land of milk and honey. But let there be no mistake. Israel is a dry land. And it is certainly not a land of milk and honey in itself. Some of you have probably visited Israel, then you know that two-thirds of Israel is desert. Israel is only a land of milk and honey. And the desert can indeed become green just in a couple of hours. So the whole country can indeed become green and become a land of milk and honey. How? If the Lord brings rain and sunshine. If the Lord gives his blessing. Only when the Lord blesses his country and his people, then it will be a land full of milk and honey. Only if we flee to Jesus Christ with an evangelical obedience, hungry and thirsty for the truth, mortifying our old nature and sins, fleeing from the idols and the lies around us, and fleeing to the truth, then the Lord will make us like a land of milk and honey in 2023. And David even asked, Lord God, may the oxen be strong, because they have to carry the loads and to pull the carts full with all that food, right? That they may be strong enough to carry that load and to pull the carts. Lord, bestow your blessing. And then there is a third blessing. So the first one was for family. The second one was for works of our hands. And then the third one, verse 14b, it is for social life. 14b, that there be no breaking in nor going out. In other words, that there be no war or no exile anymore. That there will be no enemies in our street, right? No breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. That there may be peace. He prays for peace in his country and among the nations. Well, David begs here as we beg for an earthly blessing. There's nothing miss with that, right? We pray for an earthly blessing for 2023. But right through it, there is that plea for a spiritual blessing. Right through it. After all, these two are connected. Deuteronomy 28. And think about that blessing that the Lord will make that dry Israel, a land of milk and honey. It's all about evangelical obedience. So in the end, his prayer is a prayer for a spiritual blessing. It is a plea to the people of Israel. Please, please, flee to God. Trust him for everything in your life. Trust him. Oh, we pray indeed for our family life, for the work of our hands, for social life. We never will have that obedience and that walk according to the law of God in our own strength. We look to Christ. Just, I would remind you of Romans 8, the beautiful text. If God be for us in 2023, who can be against us? He that spared not his son 2,000 years ago. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all we need in 2023? If only, dear congregation, we flee to Jesus Christ. Oh, young people, please flee to Jesus Christ. And God will bless you abundantly. And he will make your life like that country, overflowing with milk and honey. In the end, this psalm is a plea to go out to Christ in faith and repentance. That's the core. That's how we read this psalm with New Testamentic light. As a plea, oh, Providence Reformed Church, put your life in Christ's hand. Confess your sins. Find all you need in him. Don't make your own decisions, but let Christ make them for you. Well, something may be ringing in our senses here. After all, Christ had overcome all our and his enemies. The enemies are defeated, right? There is a full blessing in him, right? And in Romans, we read that God will give freely in Christ everything we need. Why is there so much misery in our life? Why are there so many worries? Why are we often in the midst of struggles and adversities and afflictions? Well, you know the answer. It makes you look upward and forward to God even more. It makes you beg more. It gets you more occupied with the Word of God. It will make that you become less and he becomes more. Through afflictions, you will bear fruit. But still this question, why then this delay? If Christ died and there is a full deliverance for him and a full salvation and a full blessing, and God in Romans 8 and many other places promises to give us everything we need, why then this delay? Why is there not God's kingdom yet now in 2023? Well, there are still more people to be brought in. There are children and grandchildren to be brought in. There are people in the neighborhoods here to be brought in. There are people downtown. There are people in South America, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia, in Israel. They have to be brought in. There's much work to be done. Much prayer to be done by us. Therefore, But, there will be that time, and we beg for that time, that his kingdom will break through, finally and full. Will it be in 2023? Is it your prayer? Oh Lord, come. Oh Lord, come, make an end at all this misery. Please, Lord, come, that I sin no more. Come with thy kingdom of peace. Oh, we read about that kingdom. I would like to read these words for you. Revelation 21. So beautiful. Do you look forward to that moment now, new year, 2023? Do you look forward to that great new year? Oh, may it be today or tomorrow. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What a new year this is. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things which we experienced in 2022 and for so long are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That new year will come. And he said unto me, write, for the words are true and faithful. Are you longing for that great new year? Is this your main prayer, new year 2023? Oh, we read of that beautiful kingdom of peace in Isaiah 11. I would also like to read these words for you. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb. No more devouring animals. And the leopard shall lie down with a kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Beloved ones, are we looking forward to this great new year's morning? And so we end in verse 15 of Psalm 144. Happy or blessed is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You are truly blessed in 2023 if that evangelical obedience is found in your life. If you are filled through the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ, and you are a temple, and your heart is a throne room, and you're seated in heaven, and your walk is in heaven, you're a stranger here, surrounded by liars, but you're privileged to be full of the truth. And you're privileged to show and to bring the truth to the world around you. Because the world around us is ensnared in lies and they are unaware of it. How can we forget these things? so many creatures of God around us lost. Because you never warned them. You never told them about Jesus Christ, the truth. And we never told them and showed them that they are ensnared in lies and falsehood and vanities. But that God in Christ is reaching out to them to save them. Oh, we are so privileged to be his people. I am longing for that day that finally our struggle and battle is over. No more death, no more tears, but only Jesus Christ. May he give a foretaste of that in our congregation and personal lives in 2023. A foretaste of that fellowship with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, how great thou art. We are such miserable creatures in ourselves. Lord, we have disappointed you so many times. Lord, we disappoint ourselves so many times. But thou art so full of loving kindness. And thou gavest even thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, what a gift he is. Oh Lord, that none of us may get lost. That the whole congregation and each of our members may be found in Christ and come to faith and live by faith and in Christ every day of 2023. Lord, thank thee for thy word. O Lord, revive us. We are dead in ourselves. And we are so privileged. Open our eyes for that privilege. Lord, pour out thy spirit among us. Lord, forgive our shortcomings in this service, in preaching and listening. But bless thy word. Hear our prayer as we come before thee. And we end, Lord, in praising thy name. Thou gavest us this morning a new song. Lord, we are sure there is a full deliverance in thy Son, Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. And in him is peace. And in him is a blessing. Oh, Lord, fill us with him every day of 2023. Hear our prayer in his name. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 345. Psalter 345. That's Psalm 121. And we'll sing both stanzas. 345, both stanzas.
Dear Pastor, it's my privilege to wish you and Mrs. Pronk and Matthias all the blessings of the Lord for this new year. And I'd like to do that with the words of Philippians 4, verse 19, where the Apostle Paul writes, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." And allow me just to elaborate and meditate a moment on these words so that we think about them a bit more. These words of the Apostle Paul, we can read it earlier in the chapter, were to the leaders and to the church in Philippi. He himself was in prison in Rome, and as you read in verse 18, he had been sent a financial gift from the congregation. He says there, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then he says this verse, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Perhaps we could say, "Moreover, my God shall supply all your need." And it seems as though Paul, he was climbing above the financial resources he had received. Certainly, it didn't make him rich. But he sees in the gift, he sees such a fullness from the Lord provided to him by the congregation in Philippi. And therefore, he encourages in turn the congregation and the pastors in the congregation with the riches that are in Christ. Paul, he says, "I was made full," and then he desires to make them full, where he steps up his thoughts to all needs and God's rich supply, and he really is focusing on the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I want to encourage you and your wife and Matthias with these words as well, that all these riches for all your needs are found in Christ Jesus. And we could think then of his commands, the commands of Jesus. We could think of his examples. We could think of his promises. We could think of his gifts. We could even think of the union that there is with Christ and his people. And then you get an idea of the great supply of riches that are in Christ. But allow me just to mention three that are also found in the book of Philippians in the first chapter, where in Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says this to the Philippians, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." And here he mentions a promise, one of the riches that are in Jesus Christ. And certainly we have need, because we are lacking in perseverance. Sometimes days are long and time is tedious. But here the Lord promises that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Philippians 1, verse 29, where we find two of the riches that are found in Christ, where Paul says to the church, "For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." He says not only to believe, but that means believing is a gift. And therefore, in times of lacking of faith, and times of looking at the future and calculating and thinking, oh, that your soul would receive this gift out of Christ, to trust him, to believe in his name. But not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. And this goes against us. This is a need. We're often looking for ease. And we often lack the courage to face suffering. But here Paul says, this is a gift out of Christ, to suffer for his sake. And he goes on in chapter 2 to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and then talks about his humiliation. And therefore, I would just encourage you by these three examples to find all the riches in Christ for all your needs as you minister among us. It's been a year. It's been a good year. We were tried for some years before, and our prayer is that 2023 will be also under the Lord's blessing. But congregation, this letter of Paul was to the leaders, to the pastors. You can find that in verse 2 and 3 of the chapter, but it was also for the whole flock, for the brethren. And therefore, this is also the consistory's wish for you, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. He talks about all your need, and certainly that's financial. Paul had financial needs, but it's also as he looks above and he sees the many needs and sees the great riches in Christ, it also is about our health. And it's also about emotional needs. And it's also about the needs of our age, education of our children, the care that we have as single people, or the care that we have as married heads of family, or the care that we have as the very aged. There's so many needs, all your needs, the needs in our families where life can be difficult and stresses come in our families. And so with all our needs, the Lord is pointing us to the riches that are in Christ. I'm thinking of our greatest need. Don't all these things point us to the fact that sin has entered into this world? Adam and Eve, they lived in communion and fellowship with the Lord. But our deepest need is our sin. How sad that is if we can't see it, if we don't see it. And you think, well, how could that be? But you know the Lord Jesus, he wrote a letter to the church in Laodicea. And they were rich and increased with goods, and he had need of nothing. So we can have many needs, but in a religious way or in a worldly way, we can cover our needs. And that would be a very unhealthy thing for a church. Shouldn't we then, with all our needs, not be divided or pushed away from each other, which happens when needs get heavy? Shouldn't we then turn to the Lord, as the Apostle Paul exhorts us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Let this, I pray, be where our congregation goes, each member, to the Lord, to his supply in all our needs. Your pastor, the Lord willing, will preach to you the abundance in Christ and his rich supply, as he did this morning, so that all needs will be supplied in him. And in this way, to dwell in love together. Let me just read verse 1, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, pray for your pastor to be full. As Paul said, I am full. And God, through him, will fill you. May the Lord add his blessing, and let's sing for doxology. Psalter number 94, stanzas 3 and 4. Stanzas 3 and 4 of Psalter number 94. Please stand and sing the doxology.
Dear congregation, before you leave, a few personal words. I have spoken you already to you much in a sermon. But I first of all would like to thank you for your love the last year, how you received us as a family. We are so thankful and grateful for that. There are so many tokens of love. And above all, thank you for all your prayers. Because if one thing is needed as a pastor and pastor's family, it's prayer. And I know, I heard it, that even small children pray for us. We are so thankful for that. And looking forward for the next year, I've just one wish. That the Holy Spirit may be poured out among us. And that Christ may fill our lives. Each one of us. And that all of us will be added to the number that will be saved. And that none of us will be lost. That's my prayer. I can wish you health, your riches, you know, so many things. But if the Lord deems it better for your salvation and his honor to lead you and me in affliction, I wish you afflictions. As long as our life may be to his glory, may the Lord bless us all. And again, thanks, many thanks for all your love. May the Lord bless us. Well, lift up your hearts to that good God and receive his many blessings. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.